أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين الحمد لله that we have the tawfiq to resume our reading the Quran again and inshallah Allah will give us tawfiq to be from those who are reciters of the Quran every day and every moment. I think we have to start from Surah number 84, Suratul Inshiqaq, which means splitting open. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا السماء انشقت وأذنت لربها وحقت وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. When the sky is split open and gives ear to its Lord as it should, when the earth is spread out and throws out what is in it, emptying itself and gives ear to its Lord as it should. O man, you are laboring towards your Lord laboriously and you will encounter him. Now there are a few conditional sentences here which mentions when something happens. However, there is no response here that when these things happen, what would happen after that. We have to realize that from the sentence which follows these conditional half sentences actually. When the sky is split open, when the earth is spread out, then of course it doesn't say what will happen. It only says, O man, you are laboring towards your Lord laboriously. That means we should realize or understand ourselves what will be happening then. The whole creation would be in turmoil. We would enter a new phase of creation, as most of these Meccan surahs, especially short ones, would allude to this, that there will be a turmoil in the world, there will be a next phase of creation. I think we have discussed this in details before, that there are two phases of creation, as the Quran mentions. There is a creation, initial creation, نَشْأَةُ الْأُولَى وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُولَى فَلَوْلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, as we have in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. There is an initial creation, a creation which comes first. That is the creation in which we are living at the moment. And then there is another phase of creation. That is the repetition of the same thing after it's destroyed. However, something new is built on the ruins of that old creation. Something which is completely different. And that's Nash'atul Akhirah, the plane of Akhirah, the creation which comes afterwards. It's just like as a silkworm coming out of its old creation and coming to the new creation, becoming a butterfly. The whole world, it's not only human beings, it's not animals, it's not even the earth and the universe, everything, the angels, the higher levels of creation, they all come out of that old creation, the initial plane of creation, and go to the new plane. And that new plane is fascinating. Of course, we cannot describe it. The Quran has given us some allusion to that new phase of creation, which is something we cannot imagine. Something which, as if, for example, a child in the womb of their mother is told about this world. It's never something that they can contemplate. No matter how nicely, how elaborately we describe this world for a child who is still in the womb, and has not come out to this world, no matter how elaborately we describe, they cannot understand. They cannot know what is color, what is fresh air, what is walking, running. It's impossible to describe for them. And the same thing would be with regards to this world, this plane of creation, and the next plane of creation. It is impossible to be explained. When we die, do we go to the next plane of creation? Do we go to Nash'atul Akhirah? No, of course not. Nash'atul Akhirah is not something that we enter one by one. It is something which the whole world together would enter into that phase of creation. And this is what the Quran mentions, alludes to as the repetition of creation. أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ. Ask them who starts the creation and who would repeat that creation again. Now the whole, the very expression of إِعَادَةً, repeating the same creation, shows that it is not the case that everything is annihilated and a new creation would come. No. It's the same creation, but it's repeated in a new form. It comes to a new phase. It comes to a new new qualities would attach to it and makes it as Allah has destroyed the previous one and has repeated it in new form. And everything which would be in that world, that new plane of creation, Nash'atul Akhirah, or the last plane of creation, whatever is there, although could not be described the way we describe things in this world, however, it is built on this. It is something that we would realize. Yes, it's just like, for example, if you say a palm tree has come out of the seed of a date. That's right, that's true. But seed of a date is never like a palm tree. But it is based, the palm tree is based on that seed, on that the seed of the date. It's just like if you want to describe a human being as a drop of water, for example. A drop of water is the basis for the creation of the human being. However, there is much difference. The same thing would be about Nash'atul Dunya and Nash'atul Akhirah. This world, with all its magnificence, with all its beauties, qualities, when you want to compare it to Nash'atul Akhirah, it's just like a seed compared to a big tree. That world is a huge tree with lots of beautiful foliage. This world is just like a seed. And this transformation from Nash'atul Dunya to Nash'atul Akhirah, as Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Ankabut, he says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَالْقِ. Go around yourself, go around the world, look around yourself, see how this initial creation is created. ثُمَّ اللَّهُ يُنْشِئُ النَّشْأَةَ الْآخِرَةِ. Then Allah would start a new phase of creation, and that is Nash'atul Akhirah. So, that would happen. Now, all these, if it's going to be explained, would take a long surah. However, Allah has left this to understand it for ourselves, by ourselves. So this is one of the methods, styles of eloquence, that it leaves out what will happen when these things come. Certainly that is when Nash'atul Akhirah come, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, when the sky is split open and gives ear to its Lord as it should, and when the earth is spread out and throws out what is in it, emptying itself and gives ear to its Lord as it should, then Nash'atul Dunya would transform to Nash'atul Akhirah. Of course, this is not mentioned here, but this is what we would understand. This is because this has been explained in many other verses, then it's left out here for ourselves to understand. As I said, this is a plane of a style of eloquence. However, something more important is said here. And that is, although the answer or the jaza of this shat is left out, however, it says, After realizing this, you human beings should know that you are going towards your Lord through these phases, through different phases of your life, by coming from Nash'atul Dunya to Nash'atul Akhirah. By going through the different phases of that Nash'atul Akhirah, you human beings should realize that you are moving towards your Lord, and you will meet Him. Now, this is of course something very difficult that we have to tackle today. What's the meaning of moving towards the Lord? Is the Lord not here at the moment? Is the Lord not with us the very moment we are conceived, and the very moment we start our journey towards Nash'atul Akhirah? Is He not with us? What's the meaning of moving towards Him and meeting Him, and especially the very difficult meaning of Liqa'ullah, that we will meet our Lord? What's the meaning of that? Now, we have to explore it, but before that, just a few thoughts about the verses which goes before. When the sky is split open. Now, we had this almost the same concept in a couple of verses ago in Surah Al-Infitar. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ, Surah number 82, when the sky is torn apart. Now, this tearing apart or splitting are almost the same thing. However, a split gives the meaning of that it is split in two parts. However, torning apart, tearing apart, gives the idea that it will be torn from every place. Splitting means that it will split from one place into two parts. We have in one hadith, one tradition from Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, that says that the sky will be split from the galaxy that we see in the sky. That's the Milky Way galaxy, the white path, the white thread that we see in the sky. The sky will be split from there. Now, this of course, this is a bit vague to understand. However, it would give us the idea that the splitting of the sky, we know that the sky is not like a cloth or something to be split. There is nothing there. It's vacuum, and in that vacuum there are lots of stars. However, those stars, when we look at it from the Earth, it looks like a brocaded cloth. And that is what will be split, what will be torn apart. The skies will fall off, as if this brocaded cloth that we see from the Earth would split open, or will be torn apart. This surah tells us that it happens only in one place, and that is the galaxy that we are in, and the galaxy that we see. All the stars and planets of it would fall apart, as if this brocaded cloth is torn apart, is split, and we cannot see these things together again. And that, of course, alludes to the change in the whole system of the universe. Of course, the tradition tells us that as we are concerned about our own galaxy, or we see only our own galaxy, probably, clearly, this is what we will see. The Milky Way galaxy, we will see that it is torn apart. All the stars would fall off. And that means this system of things holding together in the universe, that pillars which connect the stars or hold the stars together, that we do not see it, as Allah mentions in many verses of the Quran, خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ بِغَيْرَ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. We have put pillars in the skies holding these stars together, but you do not see it, and that's probably the gravity, or something that our science would find deeper later on. Now, of course, we know that the force of gravity is something which holds the whole universe together. There might be other things in future we come to, but the Quran calls it pillars that you do not see, pillars which are invisible, pillars which could not be sensed, hold things together. the whole fields like magnetic fields and others which are invisible to us are holding these things together, and that would go away. It would fall apart. And this is a prelude to what will come, and we will explain, and that is liqa Allah, a prelude to nash'atul akhirah, in which things are not held together except by very visible will of God and power of God, which will be visible for everyone. This is just a prelude to explanation of what is the meaning of liqa'ullah, what is the meaning of seeing or visiting God. So the sky is torn open, and adhanat li rabbaha, gives ear, listens to his Lord. Listens means, of course, obeys. This is how Allah has ordained him. However, the earth and the heavens have always listened to their Lord, in the sense that he has created them in a way, and he has revealed to them how they have to work. That's the very expression that the Quran uses. وَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ أَمْرَهَا. He revealed to every heaven, every sky, or whatever is meant by that, what they have to do, the affairs according to which, or the rules according to which they have to operate. This revelation, which is used in many different meanings, once Allah says we reveal knowledge to human beings, in other places Allah says we revealed to the honeybee that it has to go to different places, eat from different flowers, so that it could produce honey. In some places it says we reveal to heavens how they have to operate. This is the way Allah has set everything on motion, has set everything to operate. That means that the rules and the consistency that we see everywhere is something that Allah has ordained. Now, here, as I said, the heavens, the earth, have always been listening to their Lord. That's why they are operating in this way. That's why they are systematically operating in a way that we wouldn't see any inconsistency there. Any irregularities we do not see. What is the meaning of on that time they would listen to their Lord? Because now there is a new revelation to them. There is a new order. And by order, I mean both meanings of order. A direct order that you have to obey now in this way, and order as the regulations of the system of the universe. There will be a new order there. So they listen to their Lord. They would obey what the Lord makes as the new order of the creation. وَحُقَّتْ, and of course they have to do, because they are created by him, they are run by him, they are managed by him, and they should of course listen to him. It is giving, it insinuates the idea that the heavens are rational things, and they listen to the Lord what they say. Now again, this rationality of things, or having intellect, being intelligent for everything, is something that we'll come to later on when we discuss about Nash'atul Akhirah. Nash'atul Akhirah is a Nash'a, is a plane of creation in which everything has intellectual abilities, has rational intelligence, understanding. Everything, you can talk to everything, and everything can talk to you. And that's the meaning of the earth giving witness, bearing witness to whatever has happened upon it. The degree of rationality of everything would go up. And now, of course, this table, we don't call it a rational being, an intelligent being. It's just an object, a solid object. We call ourselves, and to some degree animals, and maybe some other things, to be rational, intelligent beings, like angels, for example. Now, some people, according to some traditions, have said that this table as well have a degree of intelligence which is so low that, of course, we cannot realize, and they cannot certainly show that. However, when the plane of Akhira comes, and when the order of the universe would change, the degree of rationality, intelligence of everything would go so high that then this table can talk to you, and can argue, and can put forward arguments. And if this is the case, if we accept this, of course we have to go to elaborate arguments for those who say this, if we accept this, that means our degree of intelligence would go so high to keep the distance, of course, from this table. And that is why the Nash'atul Akhira is, the, according to some philosophies, is the Nash'a of intellect. We go to the world of intellect, and everything would become intelligent, intellectually, at a higher level. So, that is why it insinuates that even the heavens are rational things which could listen to their Lord, and they should listen to their Lord, and they would listen to their Lord. And وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, when the earth is spread out by, for example, all the mountains disappearing, the oceans giving their place to a sort of elongated plain of land, as we have in Surah Az-Zumar, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ, in Surah Ibrahim, sorry, in Surah Ibrahim, when the earth is changed to a different earth. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ, and the heavens would change to a different system of heavens. You would not see this universe. Of course, as we have emphasized many times, this world of matter would not disappear. It is there. It's not been destroyed. And therefore the whole idea of the Darul Akhira being a solely spiritual world is something which defies these whole sets of verses in the Quran. Why should the world of matter disappear? Why do we think that Allah should destroy the world of matter which He has set up so magnificently? Of course, it would change level, it would shift gears, so to speak, and it would come to a new world, new type of creation. However, the matter will be there with changed qualities, and the heavens and the earth will be changed to a new heavens and the earth will be وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, would be spread out, elongated, become so huge as some of the stars or other planets which exist in this creation, in this universe, are so huge that go out of our imagination. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ, and throws out what is in it, emptying itself. Now, some of these expressions are very difficult for us to understand, because this is talking about a turmoil in the world, which is the prelude to Nash'atul Akhira, which is so difficult for us to understand. It's just like metaphorical language talking about things. However, we can only give a very, very simple description of our own understanding of what this means. Al-Qat ma fiha, throws out what is in it. Probably the buried bodies which are in it. Different material which up till now should have existed inside the earth, it throws it out. Or probably it throws all its water out. The water would go out. It will be just plain of earth. Or whatever this may mean by this, what may be meant by the earth emptying itself of whatever is in it. Usually the Mufassirin have said that this means all the bodies buried in it would come out of it. You might say that, well, the bodies buried in the earth are rotten, are destroyed, are completely annihilated. So what is left to be thrown out of the earth? But we know that the bodies will be formed again. And these bodies are going to be formed where the original bodies of human beings are buried. And after they are formed, the earth will throw them out. They come just out of those places in which they were buried, coming to the plain of earth and throws out what is in it, emptying itself, and exactly the same expression, وَأَذَنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, and gives ear to its Lord, as it should. O man, Ya أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ, you are laboring towards your Lord. As I said, we have to realize ourselves what will happen when these things come about. When the sky is torn apart, when earth is spread out, what will happen? We have to understand by our wit. And then, of course, this very important sentence here, information, Ya أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ, you are moving towards your Lord. As you now live on this earth, when the turmoil comes, something else will happen to you. When that turmoil is finished, a new plane of creation comes, you will come to a new form. And from there you move on and on and on until فَمُلَاقِيهِ, you would meet your Lord. Now, this is the same for the whole universe. Everything is moving laboriously towards a destination. كُلٌّ إِلَيْنَا رَاجِعُونَ, everything returns back to us. The whole creation would return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels would be the same. The angels now are in the plane of Dash'atul Ula. You shouldn't think that the angels are different, for example. They are in plane of Nash'atul Ula. There is a very beautiful explanation in Nahjul Balagha about the way the angels are afraid of this turmoil and transformation. That they are all the time thinking about that. When that comes, what will happen? And then when the whole plane of Ula will go to plane of Akhirah, how are we going to meet our Lord? How are we going to encounter Him? It is not something which is specific to human beings. It includes everything in the creation. However, since the Quran is addressed to human beings, since this book is addressed to us, and it's a guidance for us, therefore we are singled out. And we are told that, you human being, take heed, you are moving towards your Lord. From phase to phase, from stage to stage, until you will meet Him one day. Now, the very problematic concept here is this concept of meeting with the Lord. Sometimes, mystically, when we want to explain our experiences in this world, we say that we have experienced the Lord, we have experienced God, or we have an extra feeling from what ordinary people have about God. We believe in God, for example. Or some human beings like prophets, they have very, very profound experience of God. Revelation comes to them, Allah would speak to them. Are these not instances of this meeting with God? Now, the way the Quran put it, no, it's not. This meeting with the Lord is not something that could happen in this world. This plane of Ula, Nash'atu Dunya, is not a good place, a suitable place for this meeting. It cannot happen here. The whole creation is in such a rudimentary form, including the angels, human beings, matter, everything, that it cannot bear that type of encounter with the Lord. Let me give you an example. When we were conceived and we were in our fetus form, what type of understanding of God did we have? None. When we did come to this world as a child, what type of understanding of the Lord did we have? None. Well, very, very simple. When we gradually become older and older, when we have different experiences of the world around us, then an idea about the Creator forms in our mind. But this is very, very simple. even our experiences that we have, sometimes people go to meditation and these things and find a feeling about the supernatural world, and they think that what an experience. Yes, it is a big experience, but it's just scratching the surface. It's not that profound, deep experience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It never can come in this world. When the whole world is transformed into Nash'atul Akhirah, then we can say, yes, that is the moment when every bit and every bit of creation, including human beings, can have an experience of the Lord which could be called encounter. Encountering the Lord. Liqa Allah. And this is of course something that needs some more explanation and is a very, very deep concept. This should be sometimes compared with another concept that the mystics have, and that's al-fana'u fillah. They sometimes say that we have completely annihilated in the existence of God, and we are no one anymore. We have met God. Is that the same thing which the Quran mentions here as liqa Allah? Certainly, certainly, certainly not. That is not the concept of liqa which is mentioned in the Quran. This is something that we need to elaborate a bit more, inshallah, next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We'll start with question and answers from the lady side, if there are any. Anyone on the gents side?
Sheikh, In the period of Nashatul Akhirah, as you explained towards your end of the lecture, that when we were in our mother's womb and we were then born, we don't remember what happened in our wombs. Now, in the Nashatul Akhirah, will we have memories of this world, and how will it affect us?
Well, of course we will have memories. When I say of course, it means that I'm relying on whatever I have read, not on experience. But now we have memories of our life from when actually our intelligence started to bloom and to realize things. And this will continue to be with us. Especially the Quran tells us in Nash'atul Akhirah, people very much dwell on what has happened in Nash'atul Ula. Although Nash'atul Ula is the initial phase of creation, it's just the rudiments of that huge and magnificent creation of Allah that we will see in Akhirah. However, this is the seed. This is something on which everything is based. And therefore, yes, whatever we see in that world, we realize, and sometimes we express, that this is what we saw, the roots of it, the elements of it, in the Nash'atul Dunya, as we have in Surah Baqarah, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلٍ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. Everything there seems to be similar, of course in a completely different way, from with what we experience in this world. So that world is based completely in this world. And that's why this concept of reward and punishment comes. Reward and punishment is based on our memory of what has happened in this world. And that's how it moves on.
Are there any questions on the lady's side?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
For this, you said there are stages of changing Nash'atul Ula to Nash'atul Akhirah. And there are things that, if I haven't misunderstood, it is the reborning or changing all the time, right? Like we have another world in mother's womb, another world here, and then again this world is going to be destroyed, another world in Nash'atul Akhirah, and that would be through stages as well.
Yes.
Is my understanding well?
True.
It reminds me of the philosophy of reincarnation of Hinduism. Is there any similarity or anything that rejects it at all, or?
There is a big difference here. Reincarnation is returning of whatever has left this world to this very same world. Those phases does not say that things return to the previous phase. It never happens. When you have left one phase, you never come back to that phase anymore. You are in constant move. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. You are moving towards your Lord. That means there is no return, no coming back. It's always moving forwards. Although, we discuss the verse for أَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ذَحْرِهِ, those whose book is given to them from their behind, we would discuss that some people always wish that they go back and always look behind. They always look behind because they have left something very precious and valuable behind them, that the more they go forward, the more they realize what they have left behind and they want to go back. But there is no return, there is no going back. So there is a big difference here. The idea of reincarnation is that the soul which have left this world will come back to this world again. Here is not the case. The soul which leaves to a new phase would remain in a new phase, would gets the benefits of that new phase until it is moved to another higher, newer phase. So that's the difference.
Okay, I want to bring out one point and make sure, is it possible that like Hinduism had this conception of a right, in fact, belief, but it has changed like the Christianity, but through years it has changed to this stage. Is it possible?
Well, of course it's possible. We know that these ideas about the world beyond matter are very much dependent on the way the people with such experiences express themselves, and sometimes they make mistake in those expressions, and that's why we cannot rely on any expression of any experience unless we know that the person who expresses them has an authority, which they don't, they never make mistake. And that's why the Quran very clearly emphasizes in many places that we have protected you when you have your experience, when you receive the revelation. We have protected you when you express it. We have protected you from making any mistake in receiving and in expressing. And that's why we have to stick to whatever, of course, is told to us by these authorized people, as we call it them, Hujjah. No other experience would be regarded as Hujjah or as authorized expression of those experiences.
Assalamualaikum. When you said that when we're born, we don't know anything about Allah, and as we grow older, we learn more about Him. Does that mean, therefore, that what I worship in my day-to-day life, when I say I'm worshipping Allah, I'm actually worshipping my experience throughout my life, which I have coined as Allah?
Well, of course, all of us have an imagination of God that we have to put aside all the time, and that's why we always say Subhanallah, God is pure, or God is away from whatever we think He is. That's what we have to do all the time. We have to discard our imaginations of God and saying God is greater than whatever we imagine, whatever we describe. Subhanallah amma yasifun illa ibadallah al-mukhlasin. Of course, there are only a few elite who can describe Him, and therefore He is completely away, He is completely pure, from purer than whatever we express or explain. However, it doesn't mean that we are worshipping our own imagination when we worship God. We have a feeling, a sense about God, and that's faith. That faith tells us that you have to worship your Creator. Whoever the Creator is, we don't know. Of course, we have to learn more and more about Him. It's just like, for example, when you are using a car. Of course, many of us don't know how the car operates. We don't know what the car is, how, for example, the gears work, how the clutch works, how the accelerator works, but we use it. We know how to use it. We may get deeper knowledge of that through times, but it doesn't change the way we use the car. In the same way, of course, this is just an example, not in the same way, but just by some sort of similarity. We worship God initially not knowing what He is. أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ We know His complete ghayb to us, but we believe in Him. That's a sense that Allah has put in our fitrah. But of course, we are encouraged to learn more and more about Him, to deepen our knowledge about Him. And that knowledge, when the knowledge comes, of course, that would give us more conviction, more faith, deeper understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it doesn't change the fact that we are worshipping the same thing, worshipping the same God.
Any questions on the lady's side?
Alaykum as-salam.
Will always science actually progress, and end of the day when it's progressed and find something else and something new, we find out that fact is already existed in Quran. And Quran is so complete and so deep, really, there is all our knowledge is there. It's a matter of actually how our realization enhanced in order to start understanding it. However, I just wanted to ask you, Shaykh Al-Aziz, about وَالْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ means flattened or straightened. While somewhere else we say وَالْأَرْضُ طُحَاهَا which is make it like an egg shape. Or therefore, what is Quran going to tell us? One thing here it says a flat, and somewhere else it tells us is going to be like egg shape. Can you explain that to us?
وَالْأَرْضُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا actually alludes to the beginning of the creation of the earth that made it in the way that it is. However, this is referring to a different phase of the creation of the earth. That is when the turmoil comes, when that period of turmoil of the whole universe comes, which is a prelude to Nash'atul Akhirah. Then, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا At that time, the earth will be spread out, will be flattened, as some exegetes have described the expression muddat. That is of course referring to a different time than the time of creation. Well, of course the earth was made in this shape.
Sarant.
Alaykum as-salam.
When you enter from Nashatul Ula into the Nashatul Akhirah, I mean, will it depend on the degree of piety or how much you have understood your Lord, or will it be consistent throughout the creation? Do you understand my question? If someone is very pious and has understood Allah, will that change or the transverse to the next life or the next phase of creation be in different degrees to different types of creation, or even within human beings, will it be at different levels?
Yes, of course, people will be at different levels. However, this liqa, which everyone is moving towards, is general for everyone. Every single human being would meet the Lord. We will, of course, discuss what the meaning of meeting the Lord is. And everyone would come to experience His power, His management of the world. Everyone would have the deepest experience of the Lord. However, for some this is very painful. This experience of the Lord, this very experience of the Lord is very painful. For some it is very relieving. And that relief and joy and pain depends on the degree that we were close to Him in this world, whatever we mean by that, or we were far away from Him in this world. Whether we were His friends or His enemies would determine that experience to be painful or joyful. And Inshallah, we'll discuss this in when we discuss the concept of liqa', that why for some people this encounter is very painful. Although they realize that he is Maliku Yawm al-Din, لمن الملك اليوم لله الواحد القهار, everyone would realize that. However, this is painful for some. It's just like, for example, as you see, your enemy would become victorious. That just like that, it would seem like that to some, as they experience the encounter with the Lord. And for some, it's just like you yourself become victorious. And that's the type of experience that the friends of God would have on that in that world.
Shanakun, you mentioned that it's not possible to meet Allah in this world, but it's only after you die that you meet Allah. So what does the Prophet mean when he says, "Mutu qabla an tamutu"? Who are you going to, like, what happens when you die in that phase?
Well, mutu qabla an tamutu may mean many different things. And of course we have to understand by our own intelligence what meanings would be possible for this expression and sentence, what meanings are not possible. I mean, one of the meanings which might be very apparent from the sentence is that before you die and all your bonds and attachments to this world is cut off forcefully, you die willingly in the sense that you cut your attachments from this world before it is cut forcefully. This is a very, of course, simple and apparent understanding of the sentence. There are other meanings to it, but certainly when we find a sort of contradiction between one sentence and another sentence, one expression and another expression, we have to make a rational compromise between them. And this is the whole idea of, for example, explaining Quran by the Quran, understanding different apparently contradictory expressions in the light of each other, and therefore this one we would understand in the light of these verses that it does not refer to Laga Allah, certainly.
Any questions on the lady side?
And sorry, just I add, immediately after we die, we do not meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainly. It's just like another life, like this life in this world, in barzakh, of course. It might be good, it might be bad, but still God is far away. We have to move phase by phase after that. After that great turmoil comes, and that's when the horn is blown, so to speak. And that turmoil is set, and is set to tranquility when the second horn comes. It's only after that we enter a phase where this liqa would become possible.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
The last verse you were referring to, the verse 6, it says, "Man, indeed you are toiling on towards your Lord, painfully toiling." Can you explain what toiling?
Well, kadh is doing something with difficulty, with toiling actually. And since every phase of human movement towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with difficulty, I mean, death is something difficult for us, isn't it? Moving from the world of barzakh at the end of the first phase and going into that turmoil and then coming back to the new phase, it's all something which is very difficult. It's a gradual process. Just you see how difficult the life of this world is, although we all love it, but it's difficult. I mean, there are pains, there are hardships, difficulties which surrounds us from every place. So this is difficult. We are toiling towards our world, towards our Lord. And maybe the life in barzakh for some would be even more difficult than what we have here. And that's again toiling towards the Lord. And maybe when we come out of our graves, that would be much more difficult from what we experience here. That's again toiling towards. So this is what it means by you are going through a painful process. And it should be painful because we are growing. We are somehow developing our soul to come to a state where it could encounter the Lord. And that is, of course, where the final relief would come. Or, of course, then there would be another painful process to become friendly with that reality of the creation. The whole idea of hell is to make us friendly with God, because some of us are so stubborn that we would not like to be friend with the Lord, and since He is the reality, we have to be friend with Him, and therefore we go through another process to become friends with Him. Yeah.
I was under the impression, I don't know how to put it, some of us have a very easy life compared to others, and when it says toiling here, does it mean there are certain things which we should be doing, we're not doing, or I don't know.
No, I think the ease and difficulty in this world is so trivial that we really cannot say some of us live more easier than others. It's just a psychological sort of sensation. I mean, some of us might be very poor, but psychologically we live in joy. Some of us might be afflicted by the hardest of difficulties, but psychologically we can just weather them through, and it might be very easy for us. For some of us, the slightest difficulty might cause the biggest turmoil in our life. So we really cannot say some of us live easier, some of us live in more difficulty. It's all psychological thing. But generally, the life of this world is a difficult life. We will realize it when, inshallah, we go to the next world. When we look back, we say, God, where had you put us? It was such a difficult place to live in that we did not realize.
Just to build up on what you said about this ultimate world after the trumpet has been blown, two things you mentioned about that world is that the individuals, you gave the example of the table, the individual's intellect will rise sky high, and then at the same time you also mentioned, unrelating to that, that is the time that you'll meet Allah, or you'll be able to see. So the deduction of that could be that you need intellect to meet Allah, to see Allah.
And yeah.
If you extrapolate that down to back to this earth, retrospectively, on this earth, I'd like to ask your personal experience, vast experience it must be, in meeting different type of people, reading about different people, do you see a corollary between intellect and understanding of Allah?
Well, intellect...
Of course, intellect itself needs definition.
Yeah, of course, intellect in the way is used in the Quran and in traditions, aql. Aql is a sort of intellect which directs us towards real understanding, not, of course, misconceptions. Lots of people, their intelligence directs them, so to speak, towards misconceptions, and that is not called aql. Aql is something. For example, in the Quran, Allah says, look around yourself, what do you see? أَفَلَا تَعَقِلُونَ Do you not understand? Do you not have intelligence so that you use it? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَعَقِلُونَ بِهَا They have hearts, but they do not use it. They do not use that intelligence that we have put in them. Therefore, yes, intelligence as defined in the Quran and Hadith is something by which we realize, or we understand and experience Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the very, of course, famous hadith, Al-Aqlu ma'ubida bihi ar-Rahman wa iktusiba bihi al-Jannah, is true intelligence, or aql, or intellect, which Allah is worshipped, because He is known, He is worshipped, He is believed in. However, this intelligence is different from what we define intelligence in this world. That is the power of analyzing whatever is around us and employing things which are around us for a better life, for an easier life. This is what we usually call intelligence. All our sciences are based on this type of intelligence: analyzing, calculating, and getting a result out of it to employ it for our better life. This is the basis on which science is based upon. This is not the type of intelligence which is meant by in the Quran and in our traditions. That intelligence is what leads us to the reality and root of the things. So if we define it that way, yes, certainly the level of intelligence should rise to a point where that meeting with God would become possible. That capacity is created for us. And the whole laborious movement or toiling towards God is to find that capacity. And after that capacity is found, then we would realize why we should have gone through all these phases to become able to encounter the Lord in that type of encounterment.
Any tips or advice on how to develop that Quranic intellect?
Usually they say it comes through purification. It's our seeking pleasures of this world which somehow blurs that intelligence. It's immersion in selfishness which blurs that intelligence. So farther away if you go from selfishness and from not thinking about the destination, trying just to concentrate on this world. And this is the meaning of kufr in the Quran. Whatever we say in religious conversation or discourse has a very deep meaning which we usually do not realize. For example, in Surah Ibrahim, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. Woe to the kuffar from a painful chastisement. Okay, who are these kuffar? الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Those who prefer this world over akhirah. And it appears that the more we immerse in the pleasures of this world, the more blurred that intelligence will become. And then, of course, the painfulness will be when we get detached from this world, when we go to that world of intelligence, of pure intelligence, as some philosophers call it, then, of course, we will be in difficulty.
We'll have just one last question from the lady side.
As-salamu
alaykum.
Would you say that our Prophet at the time of Mi'raj met...
I don't know. Don't ask this from me. I don't know. What I understand here is that this will only happen in Nash'atul Akhirah. Now, these are very problematic issues. That type of meeting which happened in Mi'raj was probably a sort of vision of what will happen in Nash'atul Akhirah. And that's why the Prophet was given the vision of hell, the vision of paradise, the vision of the meeting with the Lord. And of course it was a meeting which the Prophet says, of course, there were oceans of light between us. It was not that final encounter, probably. However, we may understand that it was just a sort of premium vision given to the Prophet so that would understand what will happen when Nash'atul Akhirah comes. Nash'atul Akhirah hasn't come yet. The Prophet was given this vision that this is what will happen when Nash'atul Akhirah comes. And of course, this is great knowledge given to a person, certainly. إِنَّ فَضْلَ اللَّهِ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا. This was great grace of Allah on him. Yeah.
The Prophet had already reached quite a high level
of his purification, of course.
And he hadn't even met yet his Lord.
Yeah, but you can imagine what degree would be attained by him in Nash'atul Akhirah. This was in